joining me right now. You can check out her site at JedediahBela.com. Get her latest book, Outnumbered, Chronicles of a Manhattan Conservative. It is Jedediah Bela. Jedediah, how are you?
How are you, Tony? It's great to be here. I think this is my first time on the Tony Cast Show, so I feel blessed right now.
Right, right. I understand that. I understand that feeling all too well.
I know you do. That's why I'm saying we're sharing the excitement right now. So.
First things first, how's the dog? How's the puppy, which you love and talk about way too often?
She is fabulous. She's currently biting her own paw and staring at me, so she's keeping it exciting, as she often does. And she's about to have her dinner, which is probably going to be more delicious than what most people will eat tonight. So.
Oddly enough, chewing the paw and staring, so is Holly Bacon, our producer in training. So
really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
It's totally true.
Dual images of that happening right now. Emma and Holly can both be, you know, like a split screen.
That would be good. Seriously, that could be its own website. It would get crazy amounts of hits.
I'm sure it would.
All right, let's turn up Jedediah's volume a little bit. Let me dig into some of the latest polls. There are two worthwhile from the group at Rasmussen. Rasmussen has Romney at 27% in South Carolina. They've got him at 41% in Florida. Do you believe either one of those numbers?
Well, you know, Insider Advantage also has a South Carolina poll out, and they have Romney at around 23%. So 23 and 27, not too far apart. That's probably an accurate range, I think, of where he is right now. As far as Florida goes, I think those numbers are going to fluctuate a lot depending upon what happens in South Carolina. So I'm not even looking at Florida numbers yet. I think that huge lead that Romney has over Gingrich in Florida is probably going to get a lot less, and I have a feeling that Santorum is going to be on the rise a little bit there, depending on whether candidates decide to drop out. If Rick Perry decides to drop out after South Carolina, I think Santorum will get a boost in Florida. So I think we have to wait on Florida and focus on South Carolina first, and those are probably pretty accurate as far as where he stands there.
Now, I consider South Carolina high noon. I consider it a race decider. Certainly, it could be said that if Romney takes South Carolina, he can run the table. But I actually don't think that's going to happen. My question is, can Gingrich, who has had this attack on capitalism, I think it has backfired on him in a massive way, can he still provide enough strength to actually take South Carolina, or is this all an opportunity for Santorum, as you were discussing, to rise up and take a lot of delegates?
I don't think, if I was a betting woman, and I'm not, I don't think Gingrich is going to take South Carolina. I don't know how close he's going to come. I think these recent attacks on Dane have been, at least the way he has worded them, have been ridiculous. Maybe he didn't intend for them to be an attack on capitalism, but the truth is he came out sounding like a walking DNC ad. He sounded like he was spewing left-wing talking points. I think it brought down his likability. I think he's someone who people had a lot of questions in terms of character to begin with, and if you see him repeatedly saying things like the attack on Paul Ryan's plan and like this and then having to sort of walk it back, I don't think that plays well for him. And I happen to have seen that short film on
TV. Oh, so you did see it?
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it sounded like... you know, yes, I think that if Romney is going to run on creating jobs, I think it's a fair question to look into it and see, well, how many jobs did he actually create while he was head of Bain? That's a legitimate question. But when you make it sound like a series of left-wing sob stories and you criminalize wealth, I don't think that you're doing the right any favors. And I think that you're doing the left a nice big favor. I mean, they could just pass this video on to the DNC and they can rerun it in the general if Romney's the candidate. And that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I had both Larry O'Connor of Breitbart TV and Craig Robinson, the IowaRepublican.com, who both saw it and said it looks exactly like something Michael Moore would put out.
Absolutely. It was class warfare. It didn't sit well with me. And any argument that they had that could have possibly been legitimate in there was drowned out by all of that nonsense. And then they did some fact-checking today, I saw, on it, and a lot of those things weren't accurate in terms of what they were saying about these particular companies. It's not something that you're going to see as a conservative who supports personal responsibility and self-sufficiency and hard work and be moved by. It really isn't.
We're talking, by the way, with Jedediah Bila, J-E-D-E-D-I-A-H, Jedediah Bila, B-I-L-A, .com is the website, and she highlighted this show because she's going to be on. Highlight of her day, maybe her week, perhaps her month, certainly her 2012. There's an article on hotair.com discussing the Bain issue, and one of the questions they bring up is, how could Mitt Romney, who had this issue in 2008, it was brought up by candidates in 2008, it was brought up by Huckabee on The Tonight Show, how could they have not had a serious number of people working on this and prepared with responses? So my question is, why weren't they more prepared for the hits they knew would eventually come? Will people take a look at Bain, and will they ask more questions other than, I can't believe we're attacking capitalism? You know what I mean?
Well, I think that as far as the preparation, it's insane. This is a man who has made a living in the recent past of running for office. To not think that this was going to come up, and not with all of the money that he has now, and people who've invested in his campaign, and all of the establishment people who have been telling us for a very long time now that this is our candidate, and his electability is the strongest. Really? Well, then this is a big issue. Why haven't you guys figured out some sort of response or justification or explanation of what went on? It's astounding to me, and I think it does remind us. I've heard you a little bit before talking about Herman Cain, and it absolutely reminds me of that, because I was flabbergasted when Herman Cain sat on that information for days and didn't have any strategy moving forward. That's part of the character that it takes to run for president. You have to be prepared to fire back. Because if these candidates think that Barack Obama is going to sit on his tushy and just not fire back and not give difficult arguments and not have the media on his side, then maybe they're not fit for the job. And we need to start scoping out somebody else who can be a little bit more prepared to defend us. As far as your other question about Bain, I don't know if people are going to look into that, because so many people are turned off right now on the right to how this has been presented by Perry and by Gingrich, that I don't know how they're going to present this in a way. I think Sarah Palin's been out there trying to say comments to the effect of, well, you know, if he's a job creator, let's see how many jobs he created. And if there was something going on, let's just discover it, trying to keep the tone appropriate for what we should be looking into versus what we, you know, should be ignoring in terms
of... Is Sarah Palin secretly dying to endorse Newt Gingrich, but she just can't bring herself to do it? Todd did it. Is she dying to do this?
You know, I hope not. I really hope not, because I would hope. I mean, I was a strong supporter of hers and her record, and I would hope that she would look at Newt Gingrich and see some of the big flaws that I see in terms of, this is a man who has been very inconsistent on a number of issues. Everyone points to Romney's inconsistency, and I agree. The man has been on both sides of every issue known to man and needs to be held accountable for that. But Gingrich, you know, his support of the individual mandate, okay, we let that slide. The Heritage Foundation supported that, okay. Then the couch with Pelosi, well, he walked that back. Then the Paul Ryan thing, he walked that back. Now this, he has a very innate tendency to come forth with left-wing talking points to gain political points. That's not good. That speaks to something within him. So if she decides to endorse him, so good for her. But I would hope that she would be looking at these things heavily and maybe giving Santorum that extra look to see if he might be the right way to go, because I've been paying him a lot of extra attention these past 2 weeks as well.
Is this the official Jedediah Bila endorsement for Rick Santorum?
No, I'm not endorsing anyone. And I said on Twitter yesterday, I said, you know what? Endorsements don't really matter from pundits, I don't pay any attention to them. I know how it works in terms of D.C. favors, and you scratch my back and I scratch yours, and media personalities and what they hope for. I don't play those games. I work for me, so everybody knows I don't have any allegiance to anyone but myself. But I just say, you know what, people, trust your own instincts and your own gut, do your own research, and don't rely on anyone who may have a platform on television or a microphone to tell you who you should be voting for, because at the end of the day, we're all just people with opinions. So that's my advice, and I don't know that I'll be endorsing anyone. I'm not terribly thrilled with the lineup, shall we say, Tony.
I'm not per se bothered by the lineup, but I haven't endorsed anybody either, because I don't think that that's my job. When you sit behind the microphone, I think that your job is to get information out and get feedback back and really learn where people are at and where they're going. But in the crystal ball, Jedediah, you're there. You've got the whole outfit going on. The table is draped. The ball is out there like my little Fushigi ball right here, which, if you've ever seen before, is the most ridiculous toy in the history of mankind. Who's taking South Carolina? In the end result, the Jedediah crystal ball, who's taking South Carolina?
I'm going to say that Romney's going to take it, but not by a very big margin.
Well,
that's my guess.
Unfortunately, in that state, the win is just, you know, it's winner take all. So the win is the win. But you are calling it for Romney, officially called.
I think if it's close, that also speaks to whether or not that number two is going to drop out or stay in. So I think if there's a huge gap between the one and two, two might drop out. But if there's a small gap, it might speak to what will happen in Florida. That's why I specify, you know, that I think it will be small. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a huge stretch from 41 to 19, in other words.
Jedediah Bielo, the first time was very nice. The second time is going to be better, my friend. We're going to have you back
soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.